Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required.
That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes.
Please vote yes. Can I get a cookie?
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Mm-hmm.
guys, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. And I want to thank you guys for joining our humble abode tonight. Joining us next hour, we are scheduled to have Colleen Harding join us here. We're going to get into some vaccines and GMOs and some other odds and ends, and she is one of our new freedomists, so looking forward to that. Speaking about new freedomists, I do have a new Monday night co-host. We have Tazaria with us. Good evening.
Good evening, Proof. Nice to be here. Looking forward to having a successful evening with you. Hi, everybody.
Oh, it's already successful. You joined me, so it's successful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Looking forward to having a great night.
All right. So, Taz, I guess first order of business here, since you are brand new with us, I guess let everybody know who you are so they can learn from you.
Okay. Well, I'm Tazaria. You can find me usually in Azeroth. I am a World of Warcraft aficionado and have written a few things for them.
Okay.
I'm also a federal tax expert, so I have some opinions regarding our tax law and some of the use of our tax money. I live on the East Coast. I have three children. Kind of new to talk radio, but looking forward to making this splash and nail this thing down a little bit and ready for good conversation and an open mind.
Can't ask for more than that. So what type of news, other than tax codes, what types of news do you like to cover?
Well, I like anything that is actually an expose of what's actually happening to our nation. That's probably primary. Secondary to that, I enjoy discussing cryptozoology and paranormal items, everything from time travel to any of the Ghostbuster type stuff. I do have some friends who are mediums. They keep me very updated on what's happening in the spiritual world. I am a Christian, so I kind of walk that line a little bit. I believe anything can happen any day. So that makes life very interesting for me. I'm looking forward to hearing what the listeners like to talk about. I'm pretty sure we can get some dialogue started with them on any one of those topics. But I think for tonight, I like to focus on some of the political and for example, the airplane that is missing, for one, and maybe get some ideas on what people are thinking is happening with Chimera over there with the president and the sanctions, see if they think that's a big bluff or where we're headed with that. Is that beginning World War III, or are we just, again, calling Putin's bluff, that sort of thing?
Well, what do we have that we can scare Russia with? I don't know if there is much.
I don't know. I think at this point, we were at one point the world power. I don't know that the world power even exists anymore. The more I think about the Illuminati control situation and read more and more about things of that nature, makes me wonder exactly who's running the show. Right now, I think Putin's got more coming at us. Putting sanctions on them, I think he sits back and says, well, you know, I have oil, I have this, I have that, and I really think that I'm the boss. And I think there's a lot of people who might agree with that. I don't think we're the boss. I don't know if we should have been the boss.
In my personal opinion here, Taz, if a city has a vote to decide whether they want to be part of the Ukraine or part of Russia, and the public votes and they vote to go to Russia, who are we to judge?
Well, I guess we can put that in American type terms and say if the state of Washington decided to become part of Canada, how would we feel about that as Americans? Isn't that pretty much about the same thing?
Well, if they voted on it, and I realize that the United States would be mad only because we can't use whatever would be in the Seattle area, but as a whole,
well, they got coffee there.
Yeah,
they do. They have coffee.
Yeah,
other
but,
than
yeah,
that,
they can go jack some extra beans in Colombia if they really wanted to.
Yeah, they could always bypass and go to Colombia and find Juan Valdez. But you know, I kind of agree that if that's where the people want to go, from a humanistic standpoint, people should live where they want to live and be part of the society that they want to be a part of. On the other hand, it's kind of anarchy or a type of a, if we're going to go ahead with the state of Washington scenario.
But actually, you got the scenario wrong. I just, after I answered that, I meant to say something. That would be like Washington votes to go into Canada and Japan gets mad.
Yeah, exactly. Why does
States,
Japan have to have anything to say about the people in Washington if they want to be Canadians?
Right.
You know, they're going to go ahead and do stuff to the rest of America because Washington wants to be part of Canada now. You know, some of the reasons could be, well, they have, you know, socialized health care in Canada and everybody in Washington is sick. That would maybe be a reason.
Although we're trying to get our socialized health care under control.
Yeah, I don't know if I do believe that there is an effort, but I don't think that the Obamacare is the effort that we really need. I mean, that's just I think parts of the project that I know about or the law that I know about really forcing some people to buy things that they don't want. If I go into a coffee store in Seattle, whether it's in America or Canada, I want coffee, and if they try to feed me Danish and make me pay for Danish, whether I'm going to have it or not, that's going to annoy me. So I think you're right. I think there
I'm
is
a tea person, so the coffee doesn't matter much to me, but I get your point.
You're a teetotaler.
Oh, yeah, I'm a tea aficionado. I probably have over 300 different varieties of tea in my house.
Is that right? And
oh, yeah.
Does each one serve
a
purpose? Like, you know, with Sheldon on the Big Bang Theory, you know, yeah, there's certain hot beverages that are given for certain social situations.
I haven't gotten down that far yet. I should probably think like that. But I had
some ginger tea for some stomach issues, and it worked great.
Yeah, when someone says, do you have any tea, I have to look at them like I need some help because I have just way too much.
You're a tea hoarder.
Collector would be more appropriate, I guess, but yeah.
Well, you know, if you watch Hoarders, they're all collectors, too. How many tea bags do you have in your house?
Well, I don't count them. I just said I have roughly about 300 different varieties, but I could be off.
Well, so if you had 300 different varieties, that means even if you had one tea bag of each variety, you could go almost the entire year drinking a different tea daily.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just one cup. So if you had 10 of each, you could go an awfully long time. What's your favorite tea?
Anything that's in the white family, I think.
Well, white tea, I understand, is supposed to be very helpful. Those are from the
Well, white tea has no fluoride in it. The darker the tea leaves get, the more fluoride is in the tea.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, we can't have fluoride. That's
not
good.
Well, I try to avoid black tea whenever I can. I'll drink black tea on occasion, but I try to stay away from it if I can.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the white tea are from, like, they're like new leaves. Is that correct?
Right. And as the leaves age, they pick up fluoride.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I do know that fluoride has been responsible for attacking, is that the pineal gland? Is that right?
I'm trying to think offhand.
And responsible for, I know in some circles they talk about it clouding the third eye, which helps to dumb people down and keep them pacified.
Yeah.
I myself don't know if there really is a third eye. I've never been able to see out of the forehead. But
when the brain chips come in, you'll be able to see. Don't worry.
So how do you think they're going to introduce those brain chips?
Well, if it has a Sony logo on it or a Microsoft logo or an Apple logo, people will go crazy for it.
Marketing.
Yeah. Hey, I buy anything Sony. As long as Sony makes it, I'll buy it. There's a lot of loyal people like that that if they sell it that you can see the internet in your head with no Google Glass and you can open up doors and turn lights on without turning the switch on, we become so lazy that would be a savior for a lot of people, unfortunately.
Well, I think that those are the people who, if they're addicted to one particular manufacturer, maybe they need to open that third eye and consider other manufacturers.
Podcast 13 said something in the chat room that this is what I'm saying here, where Apple has an implant that lets me answer my phone by blinking, count me in. He says he's joking, but that's exactly true. That's what's going to be a selling point for people.
That's just insane. You know,
say, though, that what will happen here is that if you pass on, then if your body is good, they can just, if your brain chip fails, then they could put another brain chip inside your body or vice versa. If you're paralyzed,
so you can answer your phone after you've passed on?
Yeah, that's part of the whole transhumanism.
Wow. I wonder what I'd have to say, my dead self would have to say to people.
That's the whole goal of the reason why they want to yell at us for global warming and overpopulation is not the sense that they believe in that, but they need us to be gone so they can use all of our, not all of us technically, but they want to be able to, if a body parts tend to go, they could just replace us with one of the elite's brain chips and away they go.
That is very, very Star Trek-y.
Well, they say by 2045, I've had Tex Mars on, I've had other people come in to talk about it, the next phase, and that's a big buzzword, is transhumanism.
Transhumanism.
So, by 2025, I think they're going to really start ramping that up, because the goal for them is to get us down to 500 million people, because we would be more tolerable at that point for them. And they don't want to bust out all their new toys with 7 billion people still on the earth.
So how do you figure they're going to thin the herd? This kind of reminds me a little bit of the Georgia Guidestones.
That's exactly my point. And
yeah.
That's why they're pushing the climate change. That's why they're pushing overpopulation and In essence, it could be one of the things that they push with the global debt. They're just going to try and say that there's too many people. And sadly enough, if everybody in the world moved to Texas and got 1 acre of land, there would still be extra land left over.
That is just incredible. I remember, it wasn't too long ago, have you ever heard of the Duggar family with the 19 children?
Yeah, of course, 20 kids and counting or something like that.
Right, 19 kids and counting. She was given an interview, and somebody there, whoever the interviewer was, had asked her, you know, aren't you concerned about overpopulation? And she answered them that was a complete myth. And I lived in Texas. I know how big Texas is. And there's a lot of room. When you can drive 400 miles, for example, I drove from Fort Worth to Roswell, which is about 400 miles. I traveled through several towns, one being Snyder, Texas, that literally had a stop sign, but not much in between there. So here we have...
Well, let's put that in other perspective here, that if you drive from Lake Charles, Louisiana, and go straight through to Las Cruces, New Mexico, that's a 24-hour drive.
Yes, it is.
That's one of those boring stretches of land you're going to find.
Outside of Houston
and San Antonio, it's nothing.
If you go from El Paso to Texarkana, it's the state never ends.
Yeah.
It's constant. I know to get to Texarkana and from Fort Worth, I think that takes probably about 3.5 or 4 hours, and then just 8 hours out to Memphis. So when you think you can travel through three states there, yet only one state from Las Cruces over to Lake Charles in 24 hours, that's a lot of space. So are we really overpopulated, or do we just have high areas of overpopulation?
Well, it's like the climate change issue, but we'll get more into that. I want to welcome you to one of our hardcore regular listeners here. Terrell from Tampa is with us.
Greetings.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. I have a question, though. I have a friend that may soon be chemo, and I want to know if there was something natural, like a tea, that would help her with the nausea.
Well, I heard ginger, chewing ginger, is really good for nausea.
Okay. I get my paper.
I would say rosemary would be pretty good, too.
Okay. So is it chewing the rosemary, making a tea out of it?
Yeah, what you would do is you would take some hot water and, and throw in some lemon, too, while you're at it, peel and all. Lemon, ginger, and rosemary.
Okay, together. As a tea. All right, I was wondering what natural, as I told her what we do on our show, and maybe I can get her to listen or call in sometime. But that's what I was trying to find out.
How long has your friend been going through chemo?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her. In fact, I just found out that she had a blood cancer. And they said there's no cure for it. And so they're trying to just give her pain medicine now, but she will probably next week or so start taking the chemo.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
It's something I don't know how long she's been going through this. People don't talk a lot about what they're going through, so I was glad to know this much, that so at least I could call in and ask about something for nausea. That sounds good. But they were looking for a natural way as well.
Well, I remember when I was young and would have a lot of nausea. My mother sometimes gave us Coke syrup, you know, just the syrup, like a cola syrup. Have you ever heard that, Proof?
No, I haven't. I have a soda stream, so would you say just having some of the syrup?
And another thing, my husband just chimed in, papaya enzyme. You can buy little tablets. You can chew as many as you want. They taste really well. And I'm here to tell you that when he first told me about it, I tried it. And I thought, there's no way, but I was just trying to humor him. And sure enough, I chewed up about four of them. I thought you were supposed to swallow them. And he said, no, chew them. And you can get them at any, like, GNC, or I think we got ours at Walgreens. And they're not that expensive. And the papaya enzyme absolutely helped my nausea. Absolutely.
See, I use papaya, ground up papaya leaf in powder form. I put that in my smoothies.
Okay. I'm learning so much. I didn't know there was a papaya powder form.
So, Terrell, if you want to go down to Bed Bath & Beyond or Target and get one of those bottles of the SodaStream cola flavor, you don't need... You're just using the syrup. You don't need the carbonation. The bottle's like $5.
Okay.
And I think the papaya enzyme that we bought, let me go look at that bottle real quickly.
Okay.
And I think we paid $4.99 for it at the Walgreens. And let me find it. It's over here on the counter. There it is. Hold on. It's Finest Natural Papaya Enzymes, and it's for healthy nutrition, and that was for 100 tablets.
Okay.
And it's for digestive and nausea, and you chew them. Don't swallow them. Chew them.
Okay.
And it really does work.
Okay, I'm going to get off the phone now and call her back then before she goes to bed and let her know this.
Good deal.
Okay.
You got it.
Well, we hope we help. Let us know how it goes.
Okay, I will. And thank you so much, Ruth. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll call back in and listen later.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, okay, good night.
Wow, going through chemo.
And just to clarify, I forgot to tell Terrell, but they have an all-natural one as well as the cheaper one. So the if you get the all natural, it's usually like $8.99 or something. Anyway, $9, it's worth it.
Oh yeah, and going through chemo, I know I've had members of my family who've had to go through that and put up with a lot of nausea, and that just totally just devastates your body anyway. So I think any type of relief they can get naturally when something so unnatural is happening to your body. Because chemo is not natural.
We're due for a break here, so we're going to just grab a quick timeout, and we'll get into some more hijinks. And see, I told you about prepping for the show, but we get a lot of callers, and you have no clue what topic is coming up.
That's awesome. It's Everything Can Happen Day, every day.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have a script, so people ask me, well, what topics are you covering? Now, trust me, I have a method here, so I'm not just coming on and not having anything to talk about. I do a lot of show prep, but at the same time, you have to allow for accidents.
Of course.
So anyway, before I go to break, I just want to let everyone know out there in Radio Land that we are doing a micro Bitcoin giveaway. So if anyone is interested in getting some free micro Bitcoins, go to freedomizerradio.com, go to our chat room, create a screen name, and just start making friends and typing. And you'll get some micro Bitcoins randomly thrown at you. So They are real. You can use them wherever you can use Bitcoin. It's freedomizerradio.com. Anyway, we'll be back.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hello, Freedomizers. This is Ron from Ron's Media Matrix. We've moved to a new time slot here on Freedomizer Radio. Our show will now be broadcast every Friday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. As always, we'll have an interesting lineup of guests, including independent musical artists, authors, speakers, and even some of the more controversial Internet celebrities. We'll also be covering groundbreaking news from the Internet, along with lots of lively dialogue from our callers. Remember, that's Ron's Media Matrix every Friday from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Freedomizer Radio. Be sure to check us out at www.freedomizerradio.com, or you can call in or listen by phone at 347-324-3704. Once again, that's 347-324-3704.
Hi, I have a question for you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you want a company that provides good quality ingredients and does not use artificial sweeteners? Look no further. Genesis Pure has a complete lineup of health and wellness, sports performance, and superfruit juices like noni and mangosteen that are pure, wild harvested with no binders and fillers. The philosophy is simple. Cleanse the body of toxins, balance the body's pH and hormones, and build the body nutritionally. Every race has a starting line, and yours is Cleanse, Balance, Build. Sign up for at least a 25% discount and include auto ship of at least one product to start building up 20% back in points for free products. It's a win-win. Help fund our operation while you fund your body nutritionally. Start your journey at genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. Again, that is genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, we are back. Thank you so much for staying with us here. And, of course, you recognize my voice. You don't recognize my co-host, though. She's brand new to us here. Tazaria's with us. And
hi there.
Tazaria, I'll let everybody out there know. We are giving our dog away, and I'm trying to get a hold of the person that said they were coming up to get the dog while I was on the air. So if you don't mind, I need to try to make a phone call real quick if I could leave you to your own to discuss the article, and I'll pick you right back up. I'm not going to spend too much time on the phone.
That's great. I'll start by go ahead and just reading it out loud to everybody. The article comes from Mail Online Science and Tech. And, of course, it's in the science section. And the question is could we condemn criminals to suffer for hundreds of years? Its biotechnology could let us extend convicts' lives indefinitely. Wow. This is the scenario being explored by researchers at Oxford University, and they claim life extension tech could mean prisoners serve longer sentences. There's a philosopher by the name of Dr. Rebecca Roach, also writes in her blog that a time distortion pill could make people feel like they were in prison longer. And then yet another scenario the group looked at was uploading mind into a digital realm. That's interesting. A digital realm. And that running it a million times faster than normal would enable the uploaded criminal to serve a 1,000-year sentence in 8.5 hours. That's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling to me. Some of the things that are being developed out there, this is kind of mind-boggling and scary. Sentencing a criminal to 1,000 years in an artificial hell may one day become a reality. At least that's the claim of these scientists at Oxford University who have been exploring controversial technologies that could extend human life. And they say billions are being invested in these techniques that could mean the cruelest criminals will be kept alive indefinitely in a condition befitting their crime. That's probably one of them. What are they going to do here? Like, it's almost like an under the dome type of thing, a suspended animation of the brain. But according to their research, prison firms could also develop drugs that make time pass slowly. And that makes each inmate's sentence feel like an eternity. Well, to me, a day in a jail would be an eternity, but wow. Last year, a team of scientists led by Rebecca Roach began exploring these technologies that could keep prisoners in an artificial hell. Some crimes are so bad that they require a really long period of punishment, and a lot of people seem to get out of that punishment by dying. That's what Dr. Roach told Ross Anderson in Eon magazine. Eon being spelled A-E-O-N. And Dr. Roach highlights what she describes as the laughably inadequate sentence of 30 years in prison for Magdalena Luzzak and Mariusz Krzelek. Evidently, these parents were found guilty of murder of their child from a head injury where they had locked the child in a cold room on a soiled mattress. And Dr. Roach's highlights and state, of course, it's laughably inadequate sentence of 30 years. I kind of agree. I think these folks probably should have been locked into a room in the same conditions that they forced this young child, Daniel. But the pair were convicted of murdering the 4-year-old son, Daniel, who was beaten, starved, and tortured before his death. On her Practical Ethics blog, Dr. Roach notes that the parents, Luzzak and Krzelek, will receive the humane treatment that Daniel never did. They will, for example, be fed and watered, housed in clean cells, allowed access to toilet and washing facilities, allowed out of their cells for exercise and recreation, she writes. And turning to human engineering as possible solutions, Dr. Roach looks at the idea of the lifespan enhancements said that a life sentence in prison could last hundreds of years. A Dr. Aubrey de Grey, co-founder of the Anti-Aging SENS Research Foundation, believes...
By the way,
the
I'm back. Not to jump in. I was just letting you know I was back, but keep going. I'm interested.
Okay. Well, this Dr. Aubrey de Grey, who is a co-founder of the Anti-Aging SENS Research Foundation, believes that the first person to live 1,000 years has already been born. That's what she says. And that the benefits of such radical lifespan enhancement are obvious. I'm wondering if we can use this on the positive side, making me think that I've been on vacation for 1,000 years. But if it could also be harmful
for jobs to keep their sick hours.
Right. Yeah, I'm sick for 1,000 years. It made me feel like I was away from work. Cut my sick down. I'm really out of the office for 8. Feels like I've been gone for months. But it could also be harnessed to increase the severity of punishments, as well as extending life. Dr. Rhodes noticed that there are a number of psychoactive drugs that distort people's sense of time. Well, does this mean that we have to go back to the 70s here? Because I might really want to piece together my 20s and my teens. this is something, and of course, I was just going to say, this is something like Nazi Germany, and I scroll down the page here, and there's a picture of Hitler. So that was kind of strange. But she said that the society might not be far off from developing a pill that can make someone feel like they were serving a 1,000-year sentence. What do you think of that? What is going on with that proof?
Well, I figure it's in line with DARPA. Well, the DARPA, of course, is the military arm that makes all the cool toys. Unfortunately, they're for war purposes.
Well, I think maybe if we could get Sony to market this on the positive end, somebody's going to make a bunch of big bucks. But sentencing people to a 1,000-year term, I don't know. I think punishment should fit the crime. But then again, we're back to they murdered a small child, starved him, tortured him, beat him, made him live in his own waste. So, yeah, they need to experience that for themselves, I think. But you can upload the mind.
Every 8 hours you could live 1,000 years?
That's what it says. That the top of the article, I think you were away, but what it is
no,
that in 8 hours could make you feel like you were in 8.5 hours. It says running it 1,000,000 times faster than normal would enable the uploaded criminal, which means they're going to upload the parts of the brain that makes you to serve a 1,000-year sentence in 8.5 hours. 8.5 hours. What does that tell you?
Get a lunch break in between there.
Yeah. You come out to eat in 8.5 hours, or is that the torture part? And how does somebody psychologically survive that? And why would they want to even?
What I know, though, is because the average person on Earth might be able to get up to 80 years old. Occasionally, someone busts into the 100 years old. No one's ever lived to be 1,000 years old in our day and age. So, how would they be able to? Let me put it this way: 50 years would be a long time.
Yeah, how do you process that? Let's say proof that you did some heinous crime and your psyche was uploaded into one of these facilities where it was actually you were experiencing mentally. It's a matrix of some sort, I would imagine.
I'm thinking that this is something that could be used in a FEMA camp as part of re-education.
That I would believe. Everybody who's ever had a crime committed against them, a heinous crime against them or a family member, or, you know, and you watch the news, you can apply this to hundreds of people every night and in every city in America and in the world, wants people to pay for what they've done wrong. But when you once you've done the time, so to say, and here 8.5 hours is now your time, but you have a 1,000-year memory, what is the brain, how does the brain function? How do you take all that in? How do you store 1,000 years worth of memory? I can't remember what I did when I was, you know, 2. Are they going to even remember what their crime was when they come out of there?
That's probably the point. So, but then again, if it's on the transhumanism stage, then that means like someone like Bernie Madoff can feel as though he had all this stuff up against him and that he spent a whole 10 or 12 lifetimes in the slam. But then he can come out in 8.5 hours and be home for dinner.
Wow. But how did he remember where home was?
I'm sure
how do you
somebody
store 1,000 years worth of memories?
I'm sure someone would come pick him up. And
wow.
The thing is, if everybody knows it, at some point, is it even going to be useful?
Well, like I said, I would market this on the reverse end. I would market this as feel like you've been on vacation or on your honeymoon or, you know, your 50th birthday celebration. I think that if I was going to market this to where people would like it, I'd spoon feed it to them in a positive way and then slowly integrate it into the negative aspect if I were in it, and an Illuminati type control person or a DARPA person. I would get the public's acceptance on it first. How do you think they would, where would they try this? How do you, you know, what do you think, where would they begin?
Well, I'm sure that they would try that in Guantanamo Bay first. From there, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would guess that anybody that would be against global warming or political prisoners, they could do this to all day.
Well, I think that Guantanamo Bay would be the perfect place to start something like this. And then who would we use it on? Putin? Because he's making people vote for where they want to live. And if we make them all live, think that they've lived there for 1,000 years, then all this wouldn't be a problem. Just give everybody over there in Chimera a pill. And they would, and when they come out, they thought they were all part of Russia anyway. So I don't see how you could remember that much.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, anybody out there have any ideas on, you know, I'm reading here where somebody said no eating day or night could change the brain, would cause the body to age. But 8.5 hours in real time, or what we perceive as real time, and 1,000 years in the brain that's housed in the body, what would the effects, what would that person look like when they came out 8.5 hours later?
Do you think they might physically age 1,000 years?
I think it could be a possibility.
All right.
I see someone's asking, they have a big tax question. Save the bees.
Yeah. I see we have someone from upstate New York that wants to come join us, so I'm going to go ahead and grab that call.
Great.
Yo, yeah. Bob.
Yeah, right here, there.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, good. Hey, I just wanted to say that you may not know what a Newman is, but I'm a Newman. And it sounds like you're a Newman in waiting. And that entails quite a bit of lifetimes. You've had a few here on Earth already. Now, you're talking about time. Time really doesn't matter to Newman. Newman have lived hundreds of times on Earth and thousands of times on other planets. I say that I've been around the sun, orbited the sun 68 times, which is an unlimited statement. If you say you're 68 years old, you're living within that 100-year time frame, and you'll probably die sometime within that 100 years. just as Proof had said, you know. So, you know, there's no time and space. You may be familiar with that.
I do understand that.
Right. And you're a spirit that never dies. And you exist on Earth right now, planet Earth, which is the only planet of its kind in all of the nine universes. We're the only one. It's a very special planet for very special beings. Now, you had mentioned something about being birthed at a certain time. I think you were speaking something about that. That's very true. Those human beings, spirits in a human spacesuit, I call it, that are here now are the luckiest spirits in any of the nine universes. We call that the multiverse. And
quantum theory, string theory, multiverse. You say there's only nine?
There's nine that we recognize. There may
okay.
be more. There may be more, but we say nine because we haven't even traversed the ninth one. You know, when the reptilians defeated the overlord reptilians in 2011, way out in deep space, Pleiadians kicked their butt and sent them back to the eighth universe where they came from, the overlord reptilians. Yeah, they had a big space battle out there. Now,
so do you think there's reptilians among us like some people do?
Now, I believe there are only those that have been implanted. And those who are implanted are the world's leaders.
Right, the shapeshifters, yes.
Right, the members of the cabal. Most of the top bankers, most of the soothsayers, and the thousand Anunnaki that are still on the inner Earth. We estimate there's about 1,000 of them.
In Hyperborea, is that correct?
Pardon me?
Hyperborea?
No.
Isn't that
no.
where the Anunnaki live inside the Earth?
they're all over down there.
Okay.
It's a big place, you know.
you're right. It is. I'll give you that.
It's a big place. I haven't been there, but there are many who have traveled there. You may have
Admiral Byrd.
Supposedly, but that's still in question. He may never have gone into the inner Earth. It may have been a story that was made up because at the time he was supposedly going into the North Pole entrance, he was in the South Pole. So how do you
Yeah, you can't reconcile that.
Right. And you may know that Admiral Byrd was defeated in battle within 2 weeks of his attack on the Nazi stronghold in the northern part of the South Pole. And the planes met with some sort of shield that Norman Tesler had invented. And when the American planes and Russian planes, yeah, it was a joint effort, Russians and Americans together, the planes crashed into the shield.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And after Byrd was saying, where's the planes? Where's the planes? No planes came back, so he didn't send any more. And then all of a sudden, his ships were attacked by UFOs coming out of the water, which were German UFOs that were built by the Germans with the help of the Anunnaki and the Greys, because the Greys were here until the late 1970s, and they were kicked out by the reptilians, believe it or not. Their friends.
But we're still getting reports of Greys almost daily, so I think they might be infringing.
Those are the latest round. That's the latest round. The one that were in the 70s are gone.
Okay.
These are very few that are traversing the multiverse and come to Earth probably on deals with governments. You know, we'll give you this for that and stuff like that. There's a lot of things on planet Earth that aliens, we're an alien, you know. We are aliens to other aliens that visit us. If we were to visit other planets, we would be the aliens. And
we became aliens when we entered the moon's, well, I'd say atmosphere, but...
Well,
we were alien to that space body when we landed there back in, 1969?
Aliens, absolutely. There are aliens on the moon. And, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a program run by the Air Force whereby we go to Mars and back.
Yes.
You know about that?
I can tell you I do know that we've been to Mars and back, according to Andy Basaggio. He's a known chrononaut and did the space-time jump through a federal program. He was attached to his father, actually, with this, and you can look him up if you like. His name is Andrew Basaggio, and he reports many missions to Mars.
Yeah, there are many missions. In fact, everyone is sworn to secrecy. Most of them are Air Force officers that go. I don't think enlisted go, but I believe the officers go, mostly pilots.
Well, Andrew Basaggio is a known chrononaut. You can look him up. You can Google him. He was involved in Project Pegasus, I believe it was called, and he's also part of the Mars Anomaly Research Group there on Facebook. And he has been there, according to him, he's been there multiple times. Jesse Ventura interviewed him and had him on his show several times, I believe.
And Jesse's very familiar.
Yes.
Jesse is well informed about the alien agenda, which, by the way, will not take place. They won't have time now. We Newman, there's only 615 right now. We're going to have about 5,000 within four years, and 90% will be women. So there'll be more new women than new men. Basically, new men and new women transform their energy centers and create a single object out of six objects and place it into a cube called the hexagon and seal it. And once you've done that, then you're a Newman. So there's a 5-minute ritual. And if you can go to your inner heart and go to your projection room, then you'll be a Newman. Not everyone can do it. Unfortunately, but we say.
How about proof? Do you think proof is a Newman?
Who is
proof? The host of
Newman,
the show.
He is a Newman in waiting. You're a Newman in waiting. I can feel your energy. In order to be a Newman, you must have 90% aqua energy in you. And both of you have that. You're a Newman in waiting. And once you become a Newman, or once you go through the rite, that 5-minute rite, you'll begin to sense the energy that you have. And right now, all Newmen, which include new women, all Newmen are waiting for their powers. My particular spiritual name, my leader's name is called Merlin, and my name is called Thor. Yeah, the guy with the hammer. A lot of shows on TV, cartoons on TV, series on TV, all come from information received by the creators of those shows. They receive information and design their shows after what they receive. And they turn into hits, of course, because they're backed by aqua energy. Aqua energy is light. Holy cow, hold on. Hold on. My goodness. Said the computer only had 10% energy. I had to plug it back in.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I just plugged it in. As I was saying, the light energy has taken over now. For thousands and thousands of years, darkness has been in charge. But due to the Aquarian age, light has taken over with 66 2/3 against 33 1/3 for darkness now. So
Thor, does my being an Aquarian or being born under the Aquarian sign come into play for that?
I asked that of Merlin. Merlin is the first Newman. He was a Newman 11 years ago. I asked him the very same question. I am an Aquarian. He says, Bob, being Aquarian has nothing to do with it.
Well, I just had to ask. I mean, you were talking a bunch of aqua and how it's light.
Right,
you know,
aqua comes from Aquarian. Yeah.
Right.
It does come from that because it's
the
age
water
that we're in. That's why it's called aqua now. Spirit talks about aqua. He doesn't talk about light. He talks about aqua. Okay? So that's where the name aqua came from because it's Aquarian age. But anyway, what I'm getting to is right now, young people will become Newman. There will be a few older people in their 50s and 60s because they are very old souls. You may have heard that term before. But they have many, many lifetimes. Myself, personally, I've been around many suns here on Earth and in other areas of the universe thousands of times. I've been around those suns 69,000 times. As I say, your spirit never dies. When your body dies and deteriorates, you're up planning your next lifetime. Unfortunately, no one can come to Earth that is not slated to be here. So if you die now, you more than likely will not come back. Okay? You're going to be going to another planet. As I said, Earth is very special. Once the diseases have taken out a couple of billion people, I'm talking about Black Plague, cholera, and dengue coming to the United States.
So you think that's how they're going to thin the herd to get us down to 500 million?
Well,
by releasing some of these old diseases?
I don't know where people are getting 500 million from. I don't know who's spreading that rumor.
Well, it's because it's on the Georgia Guidestones, that's why.
That's where that comes from.
Okay. Well, the figure we have is 500,000. So, you know, what hits first are the diseases. Just as I said, Black Plague, pneumonic plague. It's Black Plague, but it works through the lungs. Then cholera and dengue. All three are here in the United States. We usually have 10 to 15 cases here.
Now, and dengue, isn't that also known as break bone fever?
Dengue?
Yes.
Yeah, dengue's like a fever type thing. Yes, almost like malaria in a way, really. But basically, the CDC is saying that if there were an outbreak here, we're in deep trouble because we don't have enough physicians that understand how to treat. They don't know how to diagnose the problems. Now,
well, I bet your proof probably has some tea for them. We could dig into Proof's stash and
It's terrible. How would you like to walk in a hospital and be trying to find a doctor that understands it? Not going to find any. Not going to find any. But let me say this. About a week and a half ago, I went on a show, and a lieutenant general or major general was invited to the show, and he was the speaker. I called in and wanted to talk to this general and ask him a question about something. And the general said, okay. I said, I was in Vietnam in 1966. United States Marine. And he says, well, that's good for you. I'm proud that you served in our, the Marine Corps and all and made it back home, right? Back home.
Well, same thing. Is not available.
What's that?
Sorry about that. I was trying to get a hold of my next guest, and I got an answer machine.
Oh, no. But anyway, I said, General, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, help yourself. I said, General, 12,000 people in South Vietnam in 1966 contracted Black Plague. And I asked the general a direct question. Did you know 12,000 people contracted the Black Plague? He says, no. This is the first time he's heard of it. I said, sir, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, has a report that states that 12,000 people in 1966 contracted the Black Plague. Now there's 58,000 dead servicemen listed on the wall in Arlington, Virginia. He says, I know, I'm familiar with that. I said, General, I wonder how many of those had Black Plague. And he said he didn't know. So I said, is there any way you can check into that? And he said, well, it's probably going to be a hard piece of information to find. I said, well, the CDC found it. You know, so I was putting them on. I was really sticking a thumbtack in them there, right? But anyway, that's for 1966. There was probably over 40,000 cases of Black Plague over about a four-year period, 66 through 70. Now, it's hitting the United States now. There's approximately 1 billion rats in the United States, and infected fleas bite unaffected rats, and the rats become infected. And then when other fleas jump on them, they bite the rat, they get infected, and they jump from rat to rat. Now guess what those rats do? Those fleas jump on human beings, and when they get bit, that human being has the plague and better get to the hospital in 7 days. That's why I made the comment that there aren't enough physicians in the United States that can handle the caseload. We're in big trouble. Well, probably about 2 billion people are going to die of that worldwide because the plague's traveling around the world right now, along with cholera. Haiti has a cholera epidemic at this very moment. Dengue is also raising its ugly head, and will be reaching the United States in even more force because of air travel. You know, jets. They didn't have jets back in the 1400s, mid-1300s to 1400, when the Black Plague took out a third of mankind, you know, in Europe. Because there were no jet planes back then. They were just slow-moving rats. People weren't moving. They were getting with the rat trap. But anyway, the next thing that's going to take place are the volcanic eruptions. And no, next thing that takes place is the bank failures, the fall of governments, fall of huge corporations, and a lot of people are going to get upset when they start losing their jobs and go into riot control.
Well, now you're starting to sound like the Book of Revelation here a little bit to me.
Well, that's part of the plan. The Bible tells some truth. You know, it has a lot of truth in it, but some of it is really truthful. And then after that takes place, you're talking about an eight-year period now, from now. You're talking about diseases coming in, lasting about 4 years, and then here comes a financial collapse. Boom, in 4 years, start changing your banks around. I'm getting out of HSBC. I think that's the first one going down.
So, Thor, how do you think they could use this biotechnology pill that takes you mentally away for 1,000 years in 8.5 hours, in this scenario that you're presenting as far as the bank failures and the plague?
Well, what's going to happen is this. You know as well as I do, poor people won't get into it because they can't afford it to start off with. So that means you're talking about people probably got 100K or more to even start thinking about doing it, because that isn't going to be an inexpensive proposition whatsoever. And those pills that you're talking about, or shot, whatever it is, inoculations, are going to be for those they pick and choose to get it. Now, that will take place, but it's not going to get the people anywhere. If they are of darkness, less than 50% light, they out of here. They're gone. They're leaving the planet. They're out of here. So there goes another 2 billion. So you're talking about 4 billion people gone like that. We only got about what? About 3 billion left. Then what comes up next? Montserrat's going to blow its top. You know where Montserrat is? It's in the Caribbean.
I do not. Proof may know where it is, but I do not.
It's in the Caribbean. Yeah, go ahead, Proof.
No, I was just saying I didn't know where it was. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's in the Mediterranean. And then you've heard of the next one from the famous Pompeii incident where
right.
Vesuvius blew its top. Well, Vesuvius is going to blow its top next, probably within... 3 to 4, 5, 6 months, something like that. So you got Montserrat blowing its top, ash going everywhere. Now, do you know what is in that ash? Do you have any idea what's in the ash itself?
Well, I would have to think, I'm not a scientist, but I would have to think it would be some of the flaked off rock, dirt, probably whatever chemicals been dumped there, regular minerals from the earth. Suggestions there, Proof?
You're right on target, but you're missing one little tiny object. A very, very small piece of silicon that is razor sharp. Billions of them. In that smoke, billions of them, and they get into your lungs and they rip your lungs apart. So that'll take out a few million.
Yeah, that's a comforting thought. That just kind of made my chest hurt a little bit there, Thor.
I think it'll
I said
hurt
that
a little
just
bit.
Made my chest hurt a little bit there, Thor.
it did. Okay.
Really.
Vesuvius is going to go next. And that's going to travel northward. Montserrat travels westward. Then about another 3 to 6 months later, one city that was there at that particular present moment of time is going to experience a 14 earthquake. And that city
a 14 earthquake, did you say?
That's Mexico City.
Don't we only go up to 10?
Not in this case, I guess.
Wow.
It's going to be a 14 magnitude.
Well, I do know that Mexico City does get a lot of earthquakes. And also, as an aside, they also are a hot spot for UFOs.
Oh, right now? I'm glad you brought that up. How people are getting into the inner earth. Have you ever heard of a man called Drunvalo?
No.
I have not, no.
Call him Drunvalo Melchizedek is the man's name. You can look him up on the internet.
Okay.
Drunvalo Melchizedek was contacted by a man in Mexico City. And that man had an appointment with the Pope at that time. This is 20 years ago. So who was the Pope then? Pope John? Something like that?
We had two Pope Johns in a row, so
Pope John the Second, I believe. Pope John the Second. Yeah, that's the name that's coming to mind. Pope John the Second. Pope John the Second all of a sudden became very, very, in fact, Pope John the Second is the one that started building that telescope in Arizona, wasn't he? I believe so. I believe that was him. All of a sudden, he became very interested in what are called the plasma beings. You ever heard of them?
I have heard of plasma beings.
Okay.
I haven't heard them discussed in a long time, but yes, I have heard them.
Plasma beings are regularly taking aware beings, human beings, aware beings, not only into their abode, but also to the inner earth.
Wow.
And they travel 100 people at a time. When they're on the ground, on the surface, I want to go there myself just to experience this, but Merlin tells me you don't have to worry about it. You'll be doing it here very soon. I said, okay. But anyway, those plasma beings, first of all, there's a small volcano south of Mexico City, not too far, I think about 19 miles, something like that, where the population there climbed the mountain and looked down inside the crater. And they can see like orange colored beings. Yes, orange colored beings that turn very yellow, white. And they come down on the surface and meet the people. Now, Drumbelow heard about that from that man that tried to contact him that went out to meet the Pope. He did meet the Pope. Unfortunately, what had happened was that man was contacted by the Cabal. You've heard of them, right?
Yes.
Okay. He was contacted by the Cabal to forget everything he knows about the plasma beings. He never saw them, never knew them. Throw away all the pictures, throw away everything. You know nothing about it. Well, that man had contacted Drumbelow, and they made arrangements to send all those pictures and videos and everything to Drumbelow. So when the man returned from seeing the Pope, another person, that man's representative, contacted Drumbelow and says, Drumbelow, you're not going to get the videos and things of that sort. This man had been told that he can't contact you. He can't be involved with you. He can't send you anything. So Drumbelow had a big question mark. So he came down. Drumbelow went down to Mexico City. He's right up here in New York City. He went down to Mexico City and went out to where that volcano was and met a plasma being. And a plasma being told him to bring 99 people with him. And the plasma beings will escort them down to their abode.
So let me get this right, Thor. You've got this plasma being, if I'm understanding you properly, that met with the Pope, who wasn't allowed to bring anything back.
No, not the plasma being. The man who
had met
contact.
The plasma. Okay. And was told to bring 99 people.
Drumbelow was.
Trumbolo was told to bring 99 people.
99 people. And they've been going down 100 at a time, you know, 99 plus
and
themselves.
Do they come back?
Absolutely. They come
and
back.
And what
up.
About them has changed?
What those people had said, in fact, you can listen to a video of what I've been telling you about on YouTube.
What's
type
the name of the video? I might check that out. Let me make a note
type,
of it.
Type plasma beans and Drunbolo.
Okay, I'll do that.
And, yeah, and you'll find it to be very interesting. Well, I checked that story out with Merlin. Merlin has his own contacts. And his contacts told him that what Drunbolo was saying is true. He sends
well, what does somebody have to do to get on the plasma beam train there?
That's the question. Contact Drunbolo.
Okay. Contact, you know what? Drunbolo. I just may hold you to that. You know, Thor, you've been a very interesting guest this evening. I've learned quite a bit from you.
But I'm interested in your story now. This all leads up to your story.
My
about
story.
This bio, what is it? What is it called?
The biotechnology that could extend criminals to suffer for hundreds of years. It
okay.
is a pill or a device of some sort that transports their psyche, the part of their brain that interprets time and place and situational or presented situationals. And what they do is they say that they can take in 8.5 hours, they can make this individual believe that they have served 1,000 years in prison or their own personal hell, if you will. So, and my big question of is, What type of person would come back from that? 8.5 hours later, the being that's sitting in the chair, what would we be dealing with then?
Well,
insane person? Has the body aged? Since, you know, a lot of people have that mind-body. Well, not a lot of people. Everybody has a mind-body connection. So if you think you've been there 1,000 years, does your body age 1,000 years in 8.5 hours?
Well,
how something like that would actually work.
Right.
Like,
well,
what would we be left with that person?
I'll try to
if
give
anything.
You a brief explanation of what's happening. Your body is the body, and everything in your body is a body. The organs, everything is a body. Has nothing to do with spiritualism.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely.
Now,
but just like this particular device
right.
or whatever it is, implant,
right.
Is going to transport this person's perceptions
right.
and consciousness for
right.
8.5 hours to extend into 1,000. That's
right.
I'm just trying to see how
let
I can
explain. Let me explain what happens. Now, how do people channel?
Well, again, we're dealing strictly with a spiritual thing there.
Yes.
Channeling.
Right. Now, basically what is happening, that mind-altering drug activates the pineal gland. You ever heard of the pineal gland?
Of course.
Okay. It activates the pineal gland, which opens the mind of your body to reception of the spiritual world. When you're in that spiritual world,
well, it's just like a vision, Like, how many people do you know that have hallucinations?
Is it
like a forced hallucination? Whereas I don't think channeling is a forced hallucination. I think it's more of a controlled mindset.
But you
have been dreamly interesting caller, Thor, and I really hope that we can talk with you again sometime.
Well, you
I'm going to look up your plasma beings, and then perhaps...
It's not mine.
Well, the plasma being topic that you expressed to me,
yes.
I'm going to YouTube that sometime during this week, and perhaps next Monday night, if sun and the moon and the stars are all aligned and creek don't rise, we'll see what we can come up and maybe talk to you again on that topic. And we've certainly enjoyed thoroughly your conversation this evening. Given me a lot of food for thought, and I'm sure Proof has also received a lot of food for thought with the introduction of some of the plagues that you're talking about, and we are just going to have to put our fuzzy little heads together and talk about it some more at another date. We appreciate your call so much.
Cool. I was saying, just go to
Plasma Beings.
Blog Talk Radio. For my show there, you click on the Robert M. Barber Show. I believe, Proof, how does that work? I had the Blog Talk Radio show there. Is my name? If he clicks on that, will it take him to my shows?
I don't know. I use freedomizerradio.com.
That's right. I forget about that. Yeah. I believe if you go to the Robert M. Barber Show, Amazon Michael in the middle, that should take you to Blog Talk Radio, right to my show. But I think it's Blog Talk Radio / TRMBS. I believe that's what it is.
Well, maybe I can be a guest on your show sometime. How does that sound?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
I was going to ask you that once we have communications established, you know. But if you go to that show, I have all my information right there. There's two shows there now. One is for the rats, and the other one is called New Women and Newman. So I have two shows there.
Bob. Well, you know what? You've brought up some interesting points and a lot of food for thought, some stuff that I haven't heard of in a long time, and other things that I need to do a little research on that are new to me. And I hope this is a beginning where we can open a dialogue and explore some of these topics.
Well, I'm going
to
see you as a Newman.
So we need to go to break. We need to get ready for a break.
I'm
going to
see you as a Newman now.
Right, yeah.
You'll be a Newman. I have to
check out the whole Newman deal there. Yes.
Yeah, listen to my show, so does
my host.
Well, I've been checking him out for a while. He definitely is a Newman in waiting. You're definitely a Newman in waiting. Both of you are already at about 90% aqua energy, because I could feel it. And once you become a Newman, you'll be able to feel others too. Time is wasting, and human beings don't have much time left, unfortunately.
As we know it.
Yes. So I hope I didn't upset any carts here.
Oh, I don't think you have at all. You know, like I was warned in the beginning, this is anything can happen day, and it was a pleasure to have you on this evening. We do need to take our little break now, and we'll look forward to talking to you and looking for you on your blog spot. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
In the meantime, we're going to grab a break, and the bee lady wanted to come in and ask some questions. So we'll do that. We also have a bunch of news we have to go over at some point here. So stay tuned. Don't miss anything.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is.
nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
Well, you never let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
Yeah, I got to get a pee here.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Hi, I have a question for you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you want a company that provides good quality ingredients and does not use artificial sweeteners? Look no further, my friends. Genesis Pure has a complete lineup of health and wellness, sports performance, and superfruit juices like mangosteen and noni that are pure, wild harvested with no binders and fillers. The philosophy is simple. Cleanse a body of toxins, balance a body's pH and hormones, and build the body nutritionally. Every race has a starting line, and yours is cleanse, balance, build. Sign up for at least a 25% discount and include auto ship of at least one product to start building up 20% back in points for free products. It's a win-win. Help fund our network while you fund your body nutritionally. Start your journey at genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. Again, that is genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth.
Hey, this is Cece, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about my show, Hope with Cece. I love to make people smile and laugh, so if you like to laugh, listen. I'm a little bit crazy, and I do not think inside the box. Sometimes I forget there is a box. But what I love most of all is helping people. I love to help people reach for that unreachable star. I love to do everything I can to make you smile. So, if you want to feel joy, if you want to get inspired, if you just want to sometimes get downright crazy, come join me. There's always hope with Cece.
Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on Freedomizer Radio.
Shalom and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting song that gives praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
All right, let me see if our co-host is back. Are you here with us?
I am. I'm right here.
Okay. So, Colleen Harding, she said her son is sick and she's trying to get him to bed. So, if she can make it in the next 20 minutes, she'll call in. If not, then she'll reschedule.
Wonderful. I'm sorry her son's not feeling well, though.
Right.
Did we have tax question somewhere still hanging around?
Possibly. I guess she didn't know when to call in, so usually we don't call the callers, they call us.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's true. So that gentleman who is on, is he a regular caller to our show here?
Hey, he calls in maybe once a week or so on my show.
He's a very interesting man. I think I need to bone up on some of the more fringe ideas that he was presenting although I've heard of a lot of them.
I can tell he knew that you're interested. Me, it's not that I'm not interested. I just really don't cover it, and I don't pay much attention, I guess. But I know they exist. I think it's extremely foolhardy to think only one planet in the history of the universe has life on it. I just think that's a little short-sighted thinking.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with all the news, and I don't know if you've ever watched like Ancient Aliens or ever read any Von Däniken stuff, but all the signs are pointing towards we are not alone, and I think there is some influence that we talk about here, how our freedoms are being infringed upon, and some of the false flag events, and some people think and are of the position that, as that gentleman was, the reptilians are in control through some of these heads of states for their agenda. So I think that's what he was trying to tie in there. That's what I got out of that. So.
All right, well, the Bee Lady is on with us now.
Oh, fantastic. Hi, Bee Lady.
Well, hello there. Now,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes, well, my question is odd. I did talk to the IRS prior to December. Okay, now their phones, they don't have another question, it's all voicemail and whatever. But I pull whistleblowers on text sheets, and it's a big amount of money, large amount. And it's intentional, and they have plenty of money to have paid those taxes. So I don't feel guilty. I mean, I've paid my taxes on my license when I was 14, right? And I've double-checked and triple-checked and with my tax person, and I've done everything right, before I've even thought about it. So they said, I fill out this one form, and then, all the paperwork, and then I could try.
Yeah, are you talking, Miss B Lady, are you talking about when you have inside knowledge that there is a set of individuals who are conspiring to defraud the United States government of tax dollars? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it was, basically said, well, this is really not, under the, IRS rulings on this particular subject, but they should never find out, okay, but so I have to fill out this one form, they said, okay, and then
yes.
You sign, saying you're anonymous, okay, and then you have another form, which you send all your documentation, which I do have, okay, then you send this other form for the reward once the taxes are collected, which...
Correct, that's known as the whistleblower informant award.
Right, so, my intention, as I mentioned, I could donate it to some Save the Bee good organization. Universities have plenty of money, but maybe some independent studies on, especially the pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, et cetera, what. But will, even though I give them all the documentation, okay, I mean, they don't need a testimony from me or anything like that.
No, they don't need anything like that from you.
Will they disclose my name?
No.
Even though, no, okay.
No.
Okay.
That's part of being the whistleblower. That's you're protected under that whole whistleblower act.
Okay,
The IRS will pay awards to people who provide specific and credible information to IRS. And if that information results in a collection of taxes or penalties, interest, other amounts from the non-compliant, then you could receive up to 30% of that.
Yes.
And then you can use that for whatever. The IRS is going to know your name.
Right.
But the people, since, like they always say, you need to face your accuser in a court of law, you're not accusing them. The IRS is accusing them at that point.
Yes.
So,
and I have that all the paper documentation. So I'm
no, and they won't even bring them to court until they have done their research and did their proper audit procedures before they even bring charges against the individual.
Yeah. So it could be some time, but it's just that.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. It's just been, you know, weighing on my mind. And I have, like I have all the documentation. Why not do it, okay?
Everybody
like
else
a,
is
yeah.
paying taxes, so,
yeah, so
what,
yeah.
what makes
I've,
them
I've
special?
I've bust my butt paying taxes all my life. I'm, well, since I was 14, you know, part-time jobs after school, et cetera. We pay taxes, you know, and then, you know, throughout my job, there's always taxes and taxes.
Going to do is I'm going to direct you. Let me see if I can find somewhere here where you can read, and I'll put it in our chat area, the link, and you can read specifically how that particular whistleblower law works.
Okay, yes, because now, yes, she helps me. With the assistance of getting the proper documents for this particular tax cheat item, because there's like 10 different items, you know, and which one it would fall under and which form.
Well, a good IRS auditor will look at every single one of those.
Yes. And she was through, but now, you know, I called the other day and you can't get through to them, you know, and I Skyped them. I didn't even want them to know my phone number. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. So like, you know, so I, you know, it just, you know, it's a matter of would you send a certified mail?
What was the question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Would you send all the documentation certified mail?
I would, yes. If you're close to your local IRS office, I might even hand deliver that.
No, you have to actually send it to way out of the state, and then the other part, the reward part, goes to D.C. Okay, so it's two different divisions.
Yeah, and there's actually two different ways that they treat that law, too. One is for more than $2 million, and one is for, I believe, less than that. But I did put the link in the chat room for you, and you can go directly to the whistleblower site, and that will help you immensely.
Okay, great. Because, because of all the tax fiascos, you just are like afraid to even like, you know, can I trust their answer? But, you know, in writing, you know, I was looking at all the documentation and all the paperwork, et cetera, and all on that.
What
I
you might want to do with all that documentation is make sure that you retain a copy of it all and a diary of what you did when.
Disclosed to me as a look what we've done,
amounts that you receive for that, Miss B, are going to be taxable to you, so keep that in mind.
Yes, he did tell me though it wasn't.
It's not a tax-free windfall for you.
If you do,
I've known people who have gotten whistleblower money in it, and you do need to include that on your tax return.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I asked her that, and she said, no, it's not taxable, and the reward money. But so you never know, you know, because, you know, these are not, she was rattling off all this stuff, and then I asked, someone in the specialty area, and they were like, "Oh, you're not involved." You know what I mean? That was, you know, a tax preparer, and but I did have my taxes, you know, confirmed that, you know, I've done everything above board, because, you know, I don't want any.
Well, that's all you need to worry about is if you're following the rules. That's all that counts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. And,
you're very welcome.
Thank you for the call. So, are you new on the? When did you start on? You're going to be on Mondays.
I'm hoping to be. If tonight all goes well, I'll leave that up to my host. But tonight is my first night on here.
I know everything seems to be going your way today. Normally, it's not like that. That's all right. That's how it rolls sometimes.
Yeah, that was a very interesting conversation with that gentleman. Yes, yes. But it's funny because, you know, I care for my disabled brother right now. And, you know, older people sometimes look at him very weird, right? And I always say, you know, I mean, one lady really ticked me off, and she just wouldn't stop staring at him. And he was not bothering anybody, and he was in his wheelchair. And she, you know, he wears these funny glasses, you know, like racquetball glasses, you know, because he won't break them, but he's
right.
Looking every other pair, right? And I looked at her and finally I said, he's from Pluto.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we always learn not to stare at people with disabilities. You know, you actually try to befriend them, you know, be nice to them. But
they're going through enough already, right?
Yes, you don't ignore them, you know, and but you don't, you know, you don't just like, you know, and this person was 70 plus, you know, I'm like, God, what is it? You learn your manners from. But, you know, it's a different generation. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
but,
you know, I would have gotten probably a little more immature and done the whole, why don't you take a picture, it lasts longer thing. I don't know.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, I mean, but the person that came out of my mouth was, he was from Pluto. And then she was quickly walked out. You know, he wasn't even in the lane, you know, of the store. He was on, you know, outside the lane, not to interfere with, prevent people shopping, et cetera. And, unless you have a family member or you have been taught, from early ages give people respect that have disabilities and everything.
We could give him one of these biotechnology pills where he could find himself on a nice, you know, beach in the Riviera somewhere.
On
a muscle beach in California. And
But you know, what's interesting about this gentleman's conversation about these plagues, did you read last week about, I don't know if it was in the North Pole or somewhere, that because of some ice, you know, deep melting of the ice, that they discovered this, I don't know, bacteria, blah, 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 and they had a whole picture of it that is like this ancient, like horrible, you know, thing that could wipe out all kinds of people. But it's because, I mean, it's like it's like millions of years old. But the melting of the, these certain areas in the upper north, and it was a legitimate article on, it was on one of the, on the internet. I have a lot of, kind of stay-at-home time right now. So, what do I do? Well,
then maybe we'll give you the assignment of looking up the plasma beings on YouTube.
But with the melt, this was just weird. Like, if this were to be released into the population,
it could be devastating.
Oh, devastating. I mean, because it's been extinct for, so long, but now it's back because of the melting of the, the deep. Now, if I find an article, I'll post it over on the site. But again, I'm not sure which one, but I mean, you even had, the biologist with the organism under, microscope and stuff like that. But stuff like that could, it can happen. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I just never thought of it, that, my goodness, but, it's just like, I could get smallpox. That's all I'm afraid of. The shot does not work for me. So I don't want smallpox.
Well, that's kind of terrifying there.
Yeah, because they kept giving it to me. It doesn't take. And then we're like, you know, and I consider doing this. You know, I'm not a big immunity. I'm not big on, you know, I mean, I had measles. I had chicken pox. I had, you know, all that stuff. But the shingles I was considering, okay, because of me caring for my brother, because it is so painful. Who, you know, I have a CNA part-time, but who's going to take my place? No one, you know. You know, he can't, he can, you know, he's got minimal, you know, he's got a handful of things he can do. And, but, you know, this is, you know, it's not long-term, but we're going through the paperwork for a skilled nursing facility, but, you know, the paperwork is just like test after test after test after test, you know, that you have to submit. So, but they will be better. It'll be, you know, they'll be just better trained to, and better, you know, indoor activities that they, therapy they put them through, you know, just, you know, moving around and everything. He was sedentary for 40 years. I mean, 40. And he can't walk a block without sitting down. And there's nothing wrong with his legs. It's just when you sit down for 4 years, or, you know, what do you, so we've been working with him, you know, walking each day. And, he's trying to build his health up so when he, his, you know, strength up. So when he does get to his, you know, long-term destination, that he will, you know, he won't have to be, you know, wheelchaired, but, you know, he'll be able to walk around and they will, you know, they'll work therapy-wise with, you know, that rubber band therapy on, you know, it's just a little exercise, you know, and then, we tried all that other physical therapy and, you know, I mean, rounds of different, but actual getting out and moving the muscles, you know, and, I don't know, but changing the subject. But thank you for your answer. It made me relieved, and I will definitely pursue this paperwork immediately.
Well, okay. Glad I can help, and thank you for listening.
Okay, I love you guys' show. I'm getting more, you know, I have more nighttime time available that, you know, I can listen to the show because of, he sleeps at 8 and goes to bed at 8, and so I can,
you can come and play with us.
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I think it's just, you know, it's, you hear all kinds of, you know, there's just all kinds of different things. And, I mean, this is just a great concept, you know, via the internet. And, it's new to me. So I'm enjoying it. But thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you very much.
Okay. Talk to you. See you soon. Well, not see you soon. I'll hear you soon.
Oh, we understand.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Neil.
All right. Well, that leaves you and I together here for a little bit.
It does. So that was, so far, the first couple hours here have been very interesting and new to me, so I am very enthralled by this biotechnology article and where it could all go. What are your thoughts on this, Proof?
Well, I have some thoughts, and I think it'll all work itself around here, but I'm going to get into that after the break, because we're supposed to take a break every 30 minutes, and sometimes when a caller goes long, I tend to let them.
Well, that sounds good. Are you ready for break now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we'll do that now. So
okay.
I got to make up time. We have one more break to take before the end of the show after this. So we'll take our break now. We'll come back. And the topic that I'm going to get into here, dealing with what you were talking about, I'm going to get into climate change, and you'll see where it all ties in.
Okay, that works.
All right, we'll be right back. Hour number three is about to pop off, so if anyone wants to be a part of the show, now's a good time to get in the rotation and make that phone call. 347-324-3704. Back after this.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs? Or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips and co-host Debbie Brook Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 Mountain, 12 noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news from around the world right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is AD Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman.
And me, A.D. Venture.
For the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio. Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
Come listen to Ancient of Days, where we talk about the lies, misrepresentations, and holes in the history we learned in school. Mondays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Freedomizer. Thank you.
Hi, this is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here on the Justice Club at Freedomizer Radio, where freedom is free and the truth is allowed. On the front line for 25 years, protecting your civil rights, constitutional rights, and fighting back against legal abuse.
Join Rose Colombo every Monday and Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's the Justice Club with Rose Colombo, only on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, we are back. Hour number three is upon us here. Thank you so much for joining us here. Proof Negative at the helm here on Freedomizer, and we have Tazaria with us. Of course, she's my new Monday co-host here. And so we're getting set up here for the final hour. And I guess this is our news hour, unless we have callers. So we have, of course, time to go over news. Did you want to go over anything first, or did you want me to go?
I think you should go.
Okay. Well, one thing I did want to talk about here was the – well, there's a – let me grab it here. This is on the Drudge Report right now, and also it's on InfoWars, and I'm just going to grab the InfoWars story. And just for good measure, I'm going to post it on my spy book as well. So what this is here is that there's a professor that calls for climate change deniers to be imprisoned. Never mind that there's never been a public debate on it or any facts that have been rebutted or even a discussion on it other than, hey, the Earth's climate is changing and it's all because of you. So that's the only discussion we ever get. So this professor wants to criminalize questioning the science on global warming. So this professor works for the Rochester Institute of Technology. Personally, I think he should move a little west and move to the Southern Hawaii Institute of Technology. And I don't know what their mascot is, but I'm sure it's not anything sunny.
Not sure either. Definitely not sunny. Maybe they have a snowman.
Well, if you follow the dots there, I wasn't trying to share it on air, but Southern Hawaii Institute of Technology. And, of course, for short, they would go to SHIT.
I'm a little slow. Going into the third hour, I think they're proof.
Well, that's your third eye will cover that with no problem. So anyway, this professor, Lawrence Torcello, he's a philosophy professor with a PhD from the University of Buffalo, published comments as part of an essay submitted to the academic website The Conversation. He argues that malignant individuals who he does not identify are collectively organizing a campaign funding misinformation about climate change. He goes on to suggest that this activity ought to be considered criminally negligent, adding that science misinformation surrounding climate change should be considered a crime. He asks readers to consider cases in which science communication is intentionally undermined for political and financial gain. He then goes on to cite a case in Italy where six scientists were jailed recently for failing to clearly communicate risks to the public about living in an earthquake zone. Climate denial remains a serious deterrent against meaningful political action in the very countries most responsible for the crisis. So I don't want to read the entire thing here, but even if you did or did not agree on quote-unquote climate change, just saying that people that don't believe the same thing I do with no, obviously with no debate or anything like that, but people that don't agree with me need to be arrested and killed. How would we live like that?
Well, didn't we live like that when we had a king back in England and moved to America, you know, and declared our independence?
Did people get arrested or stoned because they said the earth was round?
I don't think they got arrested or stoned, but certainly exiled. It was, the Flatlanders certainly thought there was something wrong with them mentally. I mean, how dare you think the world is round when clearly it's flat? You know, if it were round, we'd be falling off. So I'm not sure exactly what the method of punishment or ostracization would have been at that point, but I know that Columbus bucked the system and came back and told them that it, indeed it was round. So if this guy is going to put everybody in jail for not agreeing with what he believes in, maybe he believes that you should only put cream cheese on bagels. And
right, so those
else.
Of you that don't think that cream cheese goes on bagels, they should be,
yeah,
I guess
everybody gets a
starved.
Ticket. You get lox on your cream instead of cream cheese with butter, and you get a fine or a ticket or a point or have to stick your head in a stockade for a few days. That's just pompous on this guy's part. I don't know what archaic manual he's using, but it's not even reasonable. Yeah, there's a certain with great power comes great responsibility, and if you're knowledgeable about the situation and it affects the public, I think that there should be some accountability there, but criminally charged? No. I think that's unreasonable. What do you think?
Well, considering that I'm one of those people that need to see evidence before just going gung-ho on global warming, I don't have enough data to say that anybody that disagrees with global warming is wrong. I highly disagree that global warming is killing us.
I don't know how much HAARP plays into that.
Well, the
you
thing
know.
Is, Taz, if they say that everybody needs to do their part to stop global warming, if in Washington, D.C. today, if it's supposed to be 50 degrees and it's 54 degrees, we get yelled at that it's global warming. If it's minus 6 instead of 50, we're yelled at because the reason for global cooling is global warming. And if it's exactly 50 degrees like it's supposed to be, we're still told that that's because of global warming. You can't hit everybody on every single possible side. At some point, they have to throw us a bone and say, okay, I see that we're starting to make some headway here. Now, if we just do this, this, and that, I think we can get to our goal, at least lie about it, instead of just having everything you do be against global warming.
That's I couldn't have said it better myself. Who's going to make that list? You know, it's okay. It's 50 degrees outside, but if I go outside and say, excuse me, that it's 51, you know, what happens to me?
Or 49.
Yeah, or 49. Let's go way out there and say 56. You know, I live.
It's just a way of trying to get the world into communism, because there's been various celebrities and world leaders that said that if everybody that's not an elite gives up all of their possessions and lives in a concubine or some government manufactured housing, and follows everything the government does and give them their new world order, then that's what they want. And if you and I and everybody else out there paid $10,000 a year for carbon credits to stop global warming, who does the world give that barrel of money to?
Yeah, where does that go?
I mean, do we mail
into
it
more
to
research?
The sun? Does the sun just decide that it'll cool off a little bit if it gets enough money?
Yeah, because we all know the sun enjoys a good shopping spree every now and then. So where does that go?
I realize it's to make sure that Al Gore, who invented the computer system to purchase carbon credits, I realize that he gets a piece of that. And if carbon taxes ever became something, Al Gore would be one of the 10 richest people in the United States.
Well, he keeps trying. But, you know, where I live, we just had the second snowiest year as of today on record.
Well, that's because of global warming.
Yeah, I've got all the snow because of global warming. I'm not sure about you, but like even first grade, I know the difference between hot and cold.
Taz, it's that Common Core teaching that they're doing now in school.
I hope Al Gore's not teaching that class.
No.
I mean,
hey, you have another caller here, Taz.
Oh, great.
We have Tessa from California. You're going to really like her. She's one of our regulars here and has her own radio show on Mondays with us.
Oh, fantastic.
And
who
I didn't even
talking?
Tell you who she is yet, except you just know her as Tessa.
Hey, Tessa.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, my brains are fried for several hours after I do my show.
But that's because of global warming.
Yeah, your brain's suffering from global warming.
Absolutely. You know, the guy who wrote that essay and wants the global warming denier jailed sounds an awful lot like a certain pope who put Galileo under house arrest.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Galileo's real crime was not saying that the Earth went around the sun, but it was actually that he called the Pope stupid.
Well, you know, I think Galileo's probably one of the more forward thinkers of the Flatlander age there, and he might have been right about the whole thing, including his comment on the Pope at that time. So I'm inclined to agree, Tessa.
Well, at least he didn't translate the Bible into English. He might have had his dead bones dug up and hanged and drawn and quartered like Wycliffe in England.
Well, what do you think they were going to do with all this money that Proof was talking about?
Oh, that's to support Al Gore's mansion.
Get him a $22,000 gold-plated toilet.
He wants another one?
One for the powder room, maybe.
His mansion is basically empty, and yet it uses all this gas and electricity just to make sure it doesn't fall apart while it sits there empty. And he's making a fortune on carbon credit.
Does he want us to go back to, like, the Stone Age and you cut down trees for heat and wood? And
oh, no, you can't chop down trees. That's bad for the environment.
Well, how do you think he thinks that we're supposed to keep warm during the global warming winter, where we've had the second highest amount of snowfall on record?
You're not supposed to be warm. You're supposed to be dead.
Yeah,
every time you breathe, you exhale carbon dioxide, and that's bad. So we've all got to die to save the Earth. For whom?
Now, somebody needs to invent a carbon dioxide, like they did with the salt water from the sea, you know, make it into clean water. So we need to all walk around with the mask that he invents that we blow out carbon dioxide into, and it miraculously changes into oxygen to oxygenate the planet, right?
Well, do you know what most plants breathe? Not just trees, but most plants.
Well, isn't it carbon dioxide?
Yes. Yep. We're killing the trees if we stop breathing because
right. They
inhale what we exhale.
So we'll kill
if,
them
if
we
trees,
try to stay warm, and we'll kill them if we stop breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's a brilliant man.
Yeah, he made that movie, The Inconvenient Lies.
I have not seen that.
Well, actually, it's The Inconvenient Truth, but it's all lies. I haven't seen the whole thing. I can't stomach it.
Well, truth is far stranger than any fiction we can dream up. And I think when we're talking about Al Gore, we're talking about the tip of the iceberg of theories and stuff that we're supposed to just blindly swallow and move on with. But I'm not sure when the last time he had a CAT scan was, but it really needs to be presented to his primary practitioner that he's probably long overdue for that type of an examination.
Oh, one time I got a head x-ray, and the doctor said, well, there's nothing in there.
That's probably what will happen to him. I don't believe that your doctor was correct in his diagnosis, but maybe the inside of his head looks like the inside of his house.
Well, the doctor was kidding, of course, but I had no visible injuries. I don't think they had CAT scans back then. That would have been 1970.
Yeah, they had something else back then.
Yeah.
They shot dye in you and looked at it in an x-ray, I think.
I can't handle the dyes. I go into shock and... You know,
so Al Gore's head is like his house. The lights are on, the heat's on, but nobody's home, and it's not furnished.
Wow.
Where
I had a mansion, I'd invite all the freedomizers to come live there.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway...
Hey, I guess now I can probably break the news, Tessa. Taz doesn't know who you are, Tessa, so I'm just going to go ahead and give you a shameless plug here. Tessa Dick not only is a radio show host with us and an author, but her husband was the late Philip K. Dick, who wrote Blade Runner, Minority Report, among many other great books and movies.
Isn't that something? Wow. Wow. Well, certainly nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Minority Report is an awesome, awesome, well, it's, I say, like, futuristic, but not. It's real. And he was a brilliant author, as far as I'm concerned.
It was futuristic when he wrote it.
Are you a writer? Are you an author?
Yes, I have a few books on Amazon, and I write for some websites.
Well, I've only written one thing of note, and that is a budding novel for World of Warcraft.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Well, if you ever decide to Google Tazaria, you can read my interview with the WoW Insider. And if you find the fan fiction page, then you can find about six chapters that are on there of the novel. It's still in process. But that's all I got, which is nothing compared to Minority Report.
Yeah. Well, you know, the movies are never quite the same as the books, but I think Minority Report really caught his vision, not just in that story, but in all of his work.
Well, what inspired him to go down that rabbit hole with Minority Report?
Well, personal experience more than anything.
Yeah, I think that drives the best novels.
Police and other investigators suspect everybody, and wouldn't it be nice if they could stop people before they commit a crime?
I don't think that's too out of the question.
Well, they're getting close to it now.
Right. I don't really see that as science fiction anymore. I'm looking at that as more leaning towards a factual near future ability of law enforcement.
Well, and, just like Minority Report, though, they can be wrong.
I don't know that anything's ever going to be 100%.
Well, that's my one and only problem with the death penalty. They kill too many innocent people.
So would you rather use this biotechnological pill that will put you in hell for 1,000 years than the death penalty?
No.
You don't
torture
think that's right?
Torture is worse than death. It's just for the person doing it, it rips out your soul.
Yeah, kind of like the Soul Eaters in Harry Potter, where they just suck the life out of you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeesh. I can't remember what they're called, but you're right.
Yeah, Death Eaters. That's what they were called, Death Eaters.
Okay. The worst thing, Phil used to say, the worst thing about the Nazis was that in order to defeat them, we had to become so much like them.
Isn't that kind of like keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer? Along those lines?
Yeah, he said that too.
Yeah, because you got to really know your enemy to defeat him, especially one like that. I mean, I don't know that in recent history, with that exception of Hitler, has there been somebody who was in such a powerful position with so much control.
Well, he was a puppet just like the man in the White House.
Well, I'm going to agree with you 100% on that. That is one thing that's 100%. I don't think that man has a clue one what's going on, if for real.
He knows how to play golf.
Yeah, that he does know. He knows how to kill flies with his hands.
How come every president plays golf, even if he's bad at it?
You know, if I ever get to meet a president, I'm going to ask him.
All right.
Is Jimmy Carter still alive? He might answer you.
Yeah, you know, he might. Yeah, he's still alive. I don't know if he still plays golf.
Well, don't ask him about UFOs.
Well, we already know he knows they're out there. He signed his name to a document.
Yeah. But you see, when asked why he didn't, declassify the documents pertaining to UFOs, he just wept.
Tessa, do you believe in UFOs?
It isn't a matter of belief. I've seen things in the sky, and I don't know what they were.
And what was your husband's thoughts on those things? Did he ever talk to you about them?
He wished he could see one, but as far as I know, he never did. you see, what he thought was that aliens don't come from a distant galaxy or even a distant star. They live right around here. And that's how come they can come here and still have crashes and stuff. They aren't so advanced that they could cross interstellar space. They are not.
What about interdimensional?
That's a good possibility. And some UFOs appear to be living organisms, kind of like jellyfish in the sky.
Well, you know, there are some who are USO, unidentified submerged objects, that are seen in some areas coming in and out of bodies of water. And there's more water on this planet than there is land. And frankly, I don't think we know one whit about what it's covering up.
We know very little.
I don't know why, you know, why we don't spend more time exploring what we have right here, and we're so interested in, you know, interplanetary exploration. I think intraplanetary. What's in the oceans? There's mountain ranges in the oceans that are larger than the mountain ranges that are on land. So what could all
but
be
look,
down there?
Look how long it took to find the Titanic, and we knew where it sank.
Yeah, now if they could only find the Malaysian aircraft.
I don't think they'll find it.
Well, I saw a picture on Facebook today that showed it on Gilligan's Island.
That's a good one. I'm pretty sure that somebody landed it somewhere.
Well, all their phones are still ringing.
Yeah, so if it had crashed into the ocean, the phone batteries would be totally dead and they wouldn't ring.
No, they go straight to voicemail, and that's not happening.
Right.
So the plot thickens.
Yeah.
What do you think happened to it?
This is pure speculation, but I think that the pilot, the two pilots and possibly, well, definitely some of the passengers, did not want to go to Beijing. They wanted to go someplace where they'd have a little more freedom. And I don't know where that is.
You think there's some uncharted island out there in the Pacific that they landed on, maybe?
Oh, maybe it's Gulf Gulch. Who knows?
And any theory of maybe like a Bermuda Triangle theory?
Nah.
No?
No. Yeah, that reminds me. The Bermuda Triangle has supposedly been debunked because they found scientific reasons why aircraft and boats would disappear. Well, I think quite the contrary. That proves that the Bermuda Triangle is real. Those things do happen, and there's a scientific reason why.
I think you're right.
I think we've pushed proof past his final commercial break.
Well, I wasn't looking at the clock. That's fine. As long as you guys are having fun, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. Grabbing a bite of my ham sandwich here and there. I finally got to make my sandwich without the cats catching me.
Is it time for break?
I think
so.
Yeah,
it's in that ballpark there.
been a pleasure talking with you.
It's been wonderful talking to you. I feel quite honored and privileged. I am pleasantly surprised.
I'm just another person. Honest.
Well, that's good to know that you're not an alien.
Oh, I hope not.
Maybe she's a Newman.
She's maybe a Newman.
No, thank you. What if I'm a hybrid? How would I know?
She's a Newman. We have to ask Bob about that.
At least a new woman.
Yeah, a new woman.
I haven't changed genders recently. I'm really tired. Mondays, you know.
Mondays are Mondays.
You would think a 90-minute show wouldn't be that tiring, but it really is.
Well, I'm going to have to tune in to hear you.
Oh, thank you.
When you do it on Mondays at what time?
3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I'm on for 90 minutes, but I usually give the last half hour to my co-host, Chris J. He's an amazing young man. He's just turned 16, and he does a great show.
Great. What does he talk about?
Well, current events, especially where there's trouble like Venezuela and Ukraine, and today, of course, because it's St. Patrick's Day, he talks about Ireland. He really does his research, his homework.
Well, I guess we'll be seeing more of him in the future.
Oh, definitely.
You'll get to say, I knew him when.
Right. I sometimes hear from former students from when I was teaching English. That's always a joy.
Absolutely.
I didn't know they still taught English in California.
Well, maybe that's why I don't have a job anymore. They gave up. Well, I had some of the most brilliant students. Most of them were in the military, mostly Air Force, you know, and taking college courses to get promoted.
My son is a Marine out there in California, in San Diego.
El Toro?
My son is a Marine. He's a drill instructor.
The only base I've heard of is El Toro. Oh, no, there's another one. Never mind. I can't think of the word.
He's at wherever the intake is there.
Yeah, I know the name of it, but I can't think of it. All I can think of now is El Toro. But when
I know where Fallbrook is, but Fallbrook I don't think is a Marine base.
No. Well, I taught at March Air Force Base and at Norton and sometimes at 29 Palms, which was a Marine.
Yeah, I think that's where he is.
Well, that's not San Diego. It's in San Bernardino County.
Okay, then, no, he's in San Diego.
Yeah, I know the name of the base, and it'll come to me when I'm sound asleep, and it'll suddenly force me to be wide awake. Anyway, I know when my best friend's brother got home from Vietnam, we picked him up at a base that was way far away from Anaheim. You know, the home of the mouse.
Oh, yeah, I know Anaheim. Anaheim is where Blizzard is. That's the parent company for World of Warcraft.
And
my son was stationed up there for about 3 years prior to his tour in Afghanistan. And he came back a Purple Heart vet. Thank God he's back here. And became a drill instructor, went to their drill instructor school. And I guess he's been doing that about
a year. That is a very tough job.
It is. It's tough on his family, too. My daughter-in-law is a saint with my grandchildren. I mean, just, I don't know how she makes it rock and roll. She's like a Marine who's not in the Marines.
Oh, I've got the name of the base. It's Pendleton.
Pendleton, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I
like
a
wool shirt. The flat wool shirts that we all used to wear. Yeah, well, anyway, it's amazing.
It was beautiful. I was out there last July. California is a beautiful place.
Yeah, well, I was born and raised and never managed to escape, so I guess I'd better take a stand up against all the thieves who have taken over.
Well, I'm not sure how far you are from San Diego, but next time I head out to visit the grandkids, I will let you know where I'm at.
Oh, it's over 100 miles.
Well, that's a long way. It's actually Temecula.
Temecula. Now, that's a little closer, but I don't drive. I've been through Temecula, but I wasn't driving. Oh, I live on a mountain near Lake Arrowhead.
I'm not real familiar. I'm going to be honest with you. When I go out there, I let them drive because I'm a chicken.
Yeah, well, I hate the freeways, and I grew up here.
I have to deal with Philadelphia traffic and Wilmington traffic and New York and D.C., and that's enough.
Oh, my.
That's more than I can handle.
Well, anyway, I really got to go. My muscle relaxant is kicking in, which means I'm going to fall asleep.
All right.
Well, don't fall asleep with your ham sandwich now.
Okay, well, I'll hang up and listen on the internet, and the cats will take care of the sandwich for me.
All right.
Well, it was nice to meet you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and bye-bye.
All right, good night. All right, I guess we'll grab a quick timeout here, and we will finish it up here in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Ruth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
The Weekend Vigilante Show with Sheila Zelinsky. When the war on terror
. This is a globally orchestrated meltdown to reshape the world into complete totalitarian global governance. Really, the end game here is evil sinister Luciferian eugenics plan.
Ask yourself, how is it that out-of-controlled megalomaniac rogues run things? Tyranny, fear-mongering, drones, geopolitical chaos, financial crises, mass censorship.
If you're planning, you've got to plan in a way to defeat the existing system.
Mindless minions, they're walking around in sort of a zombie-like trance.
The Weekend Vigilante Show with Sheila Zelinsky. Thursday night, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Only here on Freedomizer Radio.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all in the Sabbath hour at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
How's it going, Freedomizers? This is Ferdinand. Join me on the No Bull Zone every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about everything from local to national issues, how to be free, and even throw in some health talks. Call in to chat or suggest a topic. That's the No Bull Zone every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast Time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is A.D. Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman,
and me, A.D. Venture,
for the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
All right, guys, we are back. We got just a few minutes left here. So let me go ahead and bring her back in. Sorry, I put you on mute there for a minute on the break.
But oh,
anyway,
that's
you're back.
Fine.
Yeah, we
I bet my
minutes.
Husband wishes he had that button.
So what does he think about you doing radio?
Well, he supports me in just about anything I venture into, and he was pretty excited that I was going to do this tonight and see how it all kind of worked out. He thinks it's neat, and hopes that it's something that I might continue.
Okay.
And, you know, I think he's kind of excited for me that I'm on here with you.
All right. Well, don't worry. Flattery gets you everywhere around here.
Well, that's a good deal.
All right. Well, we got about 7 minutes left, so I'll let you suggest this next topic here, whether it's an article, whether it's something you want to go over. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm going to go back to the plane. I was reading this article. Let me pop it in here for you. Because that has really been on my brain here lately, like we were talking about. There is an article that says that the plane was deliberately flown at 5,000 feet to avoid radars. And I'm still trying to figure out what the motive for that might have been. What do you think they did that for?
Well,
it's called
terrain
masking.
It's blatantly obvious that there's a reason why this airplane just happened to go missing. I don't think this was just an accident. At the same time, no, I don't think that two Iranian college students overtook the airplane when the cockpit is supposed to be locked.
Yeah, now, I've heard a couple of different theories. I've heard that the two guys who came on with the passports who really weren't on there were time travelers. Mm-hmm. I've also heard that it was indeed a false flag event for that was jointly done with Malaysia for the Navy to utilize some sort of new military device.
Well, here's so what I'm looking at. I'm just reading off a headline, and I've been alluding to this ever since this started. There's a headline, missing Malaysia Airlines flight was flown to a Taliban-controlled area to be used at a later date. It just
so
almost seems as though now this is going to be some kind of bargaining chip in order to get that worldwide peace deal.
Well, I think you're heading the right direction with that. They're going to use it much like they did back in the towers. If you believe that, you know, that was actually the Taliban, only maybe
right.
They'll use
and
it.
I doubt very seriously anything's going to happen in Russia or China or the Ukraine. I don't think.
No,
that.
I'm thinking I've got my eyeball maybe on Japan or maybe even do they really want to wake up the dragon? You know, would they really do this, fly it into Beijing, or you know, would they really do that?
Well, if somebody wants to just blame somebody so that we can get a peace deal together.
Well, I guess that's viable. Absolutely. I don't know.
Just
I
had
think...
this go missing with no backups, and allegedly now they're getting information a week after the airplane's been missing. Now they're getting information about the Taliban. Really? I thought the plane
yeah,
was missing.
They can listen. The NSA can listen to all our conversations. But they can't find this plane, and they don't know what happened to it. I don't believe it. I believe they
I bet you if someone
know.
On that airplane said something about how they support the Second Amendment, they'd be able to find that airplane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe
they...
9/11's an inside job on that airplane, I bet you they'll be able to find that airplane.
I think you're right. I bet you if they think, you know, I absolutely think that if they believed in pro-life and it's okay to keep guns and have local militias like we were set up to, and they'd find it. Maybe there was somebody on that plane who knew everything and was going to go threaten to expose it all. I know there was talk about there might have been some type of clandestine material on that plane that promoted the disappearance. But I just don't get the feeling these people are dead. I don't get the dead feeling.
Yeah, I don't get that either just yet. Well, they could have been killed after, but I just don't see that they died in a plane crash.
Yeah, they might be being held somewhere, but no, I don't get that whole they're dead. We would have found something. I think even though it's the size of Indiana and they were only using like 40 whatever they said rescue craft, and I guess that would be airplanes, helicopters, and boats searching an area approximately the size of Indiana, something would have washed ashore by now, or something should have surfaced. So whoever did this knew what they were doing, and knew what they were doing well.
All right. I just wanted to mention also that on tomorrow's show, we have the main eyewitness to the underwear bomber, Mr. Kurt Haskell.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be very interesting.
Right. So if you get a chance, come stick around. In the meantime, I just got the 90-second buzzer in my ear, and I'm about to get the 60-second, which means we've spent 3 hours together.
And it was fun 3 hours.
Yes, and I hope we get to do it again next Monday.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. It was very interesting and informative, and I'm looking forward to future events.
Well, in the meantime, hold on a second. I'm proof negative, and I'm out.